The number one reason people attend church today is because someone asked them, a friend asked them. And so next Sunday is a good opportunity for you to invite friends to come to Friend Day here at First Baptist Church. This morning we'll look at Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Do you have that photograph of yourself that's just awful? We all have those. Maybe it was a family photo, or maybe it was a vacation, or a reunion, or an outing of some type, but the picture, it's maybe fine of everybody else, but it's terrible of you. Maybe you're windblown, or maybe they captured your bad side, or maybe they caught you mid-pose, or maybe you smile so long and then it just got weird. For whatever reason, it's just a terrible picture of you. And for some reason, that picture keeps coming up over and over, and you're going, I wish somebody would get rid of that picture. It is terrible of me. Every time you see the terrible picture of yourself, you just want to cringe. Well, our passage this morning it's one of those. Every time we read it, we cringe. Because it is a picture of us, and it's a terrible snapshot of ourselves. Read with me, starting in verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, I'll pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. When his master summoned him, he said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. There are some passages in the Bible I love. They make me feel good. They inspire me. They give me confidence. I love Isaiah 43:2. It says, God said, whenever you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and the rivers will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not get burned. I love that passage. God's with us. And I love Psalm 17, verse 8. God will keep me as the apple of his eye and hide me beneath the shadow of his wings. I love that. And I love Romans 8:28. If God be for us, who can be against us? It inspires me. And then there are some passages in the Bible that I read and I go, wow, that's I fail often in this area, and God, I need to be better as I read those passages. And this morning's text is one of those passages. Every time you read it, you cringe like a poor photograph. We looked at this passage a few years ago, and I want us to come back this morning and look at it again. This is one of those passages that you need to return back to time and time again. So let's look at it. First of all, letter A on your outline, Simon Peter's question. Jesus and the disciples were talking, and as was common, and they mentioned the topic of forgiveness, Jesus did, just kind of offhandedly, and Peter responded with the question, Lord, how many times does my brother sin against me? Do I have to forgive him? Seven times? Now, the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, taught that you only had to forgive three times. Once you forgave somebody three times, the rabbis taught, that's plenty. If they transgress against you the fourth time, you have at it. They deserve it. Three's enough. So Peter thought he was being generous. He went seven. And so he thought, seven times, Lord, that's the number of perfection, that's the number of completeness. Whenever somebody sins against me, do I have to forgive them seven times? And Jesus said, no. And Peter went, phew. And Jesus replied, 77 times. Some of your translations say 70 times seven. That's because in the original language, there was no distinction between 77 or 70 times 7. And so some of your translations may say one or the other. Manuscripts are pretty unclear. It doesn't matter whether it's 77 or whether it's 490. The point is, you don't stop forgiving. That's the point. Whatever they've done to you, you don't stop forgiving. Now, we have a problem with that. I'm going to admit it, we do. I mean, you fool me once, shame on you, but you fool me twice, I'm going to wise up, shame on me. So we'll forgive once, maybe twice, maybe. But that's all. I'm not going to be anybody's doormat. I'm not going to let everybody run over me. I'm going to forgive once, maybe twice. That's all. Seven times? That's a lot. Let's imagine Jim down here, he goes all over Garland talking badly about me. And he comes to me and says, Pastor, I'm sorry, man. I just talked badly about you all over town this week. Would you forgive me? I said, Jim, that doesn't sound like you. Okay, sure. And I forgive him. And he comes back the next week. Pastor, I did it again. I don't know what got into me. I just trashed your name all over Garland. Would you forgive me? Well, sure, Jim. That's twice now, Jim. Twice. And he does it a third time. And I go, Jim, what is up? Seven times is a lot to forgive somebody. And Jesus said, nope, you just keep forgiving them. We have a problem with that. By the way, how many times has God forgiven you? Daily? So in response to Peter's question, Jesus told a parable. It was one of his worst parables, personally, if you ask me, because it hit so close to home. Letter B on your outline, Jesus' response in a parable. So the disciples are listening. They must have been stunned, by the way, whenever Jesus said, no, you don't forgive seven, you forgive 77. They must have been stunned. So there's probably quiet in the crowd. He's talking to his disciples, and then Jesus told them a story. He said, one time there was a king, and all of these people owed him money. All of his servants, he had loaned out money, and so they owed him money, and it's time to collect. He decides, this is the day I'm going to collect. So all of his servants that owed him money, he called them in, and there was one particular servant that was brought in that the Bible tells us owed the king 10,000 talents. Now, we don't know how much that is because we're not familiar with talents, how much a talent was. So, 10,000, by the way, is the largest Greek number they had in their language. They didn't have any other larger than 10,000. And a talent was the largest unit of measurement as far as currency goes. And so Jesus is using the extremes, the highest number we have plus the highest currency we have, and put them together. And that's how much he owed. Infinite. If you figure out 10,000 talents in today's currency in America, the talent was usually weighing silver or gold in the Bible, and they weighed it in the pounds. We weigh silver and gold by the ounce. They weighed it by the pound. So they would weigh silver and gold. 75 pounds was one talent. Okay, that's a lot of silver, a lot of gold. And he owed 10,000 talents. So that's about 204 metric tons of silver. That's about 60 million denarii. So that equals, in our terminology, about $18 billion. So he called the servant in, "You owe me $18 billion. I don't think we know how much $18 billion is. Let me give you a couple of examples. One billion minutes ago was when Jesus was walking on earth. 1900 years. If you were to count to 18 billion and you spoke verbally two numbers a second, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, it would take you just over 90 years to get to 18 billion. I don't know how he amassed an $18 billion debt, but he did. So the servant was called in, and the king, "You owe 10,000 talents. And he said, "I can't pay that amount. That's impossible." So he said, "Okay, then cast into prison with you and your wife and children." By the way, you could, if somebody owed a debt in those days, your wife and kids, they paid it off too, so they went into jail with you. "Okay, well, cast you into prison." And the servant, hold on a second. And he fell on his knees just before the king, and he started begging him, "Would you please somehow just give me more time? I'll pay you." Seriously? He's going to pay. He should have just said, "Would you please forgive the debt?" Because he doesn't need more time. By the way, if you're trying to pay off an $18 billion debt and you paid $18 a second, 18, 36, 54, 72, it would take you just over 30 years to pay off an $18 billion debt. He can't pay it. But he says, "Give me more time, be patient, I'll pay you every cent." And the king was moved with compassion and had pity on him and said, "Okay, all right, okay. I'll forgive your debt." By the way, the word debt that's used there doesn't mean, it meant loan, not debt. It was the word danion in Greek. He used the word loan. "I'll forgive your loan." Serious? Yes. All of it? Yes. No payment plan, no reducing the debt. Everything paid in full. Marked off the books. You're forgiven. Whew. Don't you wish your mortgage company would be moved with compassion? "Thank you, King. I don't know how I can ever thank you. Thank you so much." And so the man gets up, brushes himself off out of the prison, and he walks out, and he goes and finds another servant who owed him 100 denarii. How much is 100 denarii? Well, in biblical days, one denarii was one day's wage. So if you worked one day, you got one denarii. 2 days, two denarii. 100 denarii, that he owed him about 3.5 months worth of work. Today in America, the average daily wage paid to workers is $304 a day. That's nationwide, that's the average, $304. So 304 times 100, a little over 30,000. So the man's been forgiven $18 billion, and he goes and finds a man who owes him $30,000 and says, "You need to pay me everything you owe me." And there was the exact same response. I can't pay it. He fell on his knees. He started begging the fellow servant, "I can't pay it. If you'll only be patient with me, I'll pay you every penny." But this time, no compassion. There's no pity. The man said, "Nope." He even grabbed him by the throat and began to choke him. He resorted to physical violence. "You pay me every cent you owe me." "I can't." So he took the fellow servant, his wife, and his children, and cast them into prison. And there happened to be some people watching who knew he'd been forgiven a lot and saw what he did, and it bothered them. Folks, there are people out there who know you and me, and they know how much God has forgiven us. And then whenever we turn around and hold a grudge against somebody, it bothers them too. So these that watched this went to the king. King, question for you. Do you remember that servant that you forgave the $18 billion?
Yeah.
Do you know what he did?
No.
Well, as soon as he got out of jail, he went and found somebody that owed him $30,000 and grabbed him by the throat. And because he couldn't pay, he threw him into prison. The king said, "You're kidding. Bring him here." So they went and got the servant and brought him before the king, and the king looked at him and said, "You wicked outfit, you. I forgave you 10,000 talents because you begged me. And then you go out and find somebody owing you 100 denarii, and you grab them by the throat and throw them in prison? What? You're going into prison with them. I'm bringing the debt back." By the way, this time he doesn't use the word danion for loan. He uses the word debt. "You're going in there until you pay every last cent because of your attitude." And the story ends. Many times, whenever Jesus spoke parables, he'd tell a story like that, and then he would leave it up to the disciples to draw the connection. Most of the time, in fact, he would tell the story, he'd walk off, and I'd go, "Huh, I wonder what he's talking about." But this time, Jesus didn't leave them to draw the conclusion. He told them the point. So go to letter C on your outline there. The truth revealed. Jesus told the disciples, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you who do not forgive your brothers from your heart." Do you know why he said from your heart? Because he knows us. He knows we like to play games. He knows that being in church, we know we're not supposed to have anything against anybody. And so we play little games. We say, oh, I'm fine. I've forgiven. I've moved on. That's their problem. Let them deal with it. I'm moving on with my life. And we convince ourselves everything's fine. We've forgiven with our mouth, but not from our heart. So he said, you must forgive from your heart. Now, the point of the story is very clear. I am the servant that God forgave $18 billion. I've sinned against him much. So whenever I go to somebody else who's offended me a little bit, or my family offended my family, and so I hold a grudge against them, or I just kind of don't speak to them anymore, whenever I go and do that, I'm the man finding the servant who owes me a small amount. And I'm grabbing them by the throat. That story's me. It's an ugly picture of me. One of the most difficult parts of forgiving somebody is admitting that I haven't forgiven them. This is just me, maybe not you. The hardest part is admitting that I haven't forgiven them. Because you see, I'm a pastor. Pastors are supposed to love everybody, not have anything against anybody. And so are you. So I convince myself I'm good. But deep down, the truth is I'm not. So the hardest part is admitting that I have something against somebody. Verse 35 is powerful. God is saying, I will do the same to you if you don't forgive others. If you think back on what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, listen to this, it's not good. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, if you forgive other people, my heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, my heavenly Father will not forgive you. Think about that for a moment. I want God to forgive me. So I have no choice but to forgive them. I don't care what they do to me. If they hurt me, if they hurt my family, if they sexually abuse me, whatever they do, I have no choice. If I want God to forgive me. Now, if I want to hold a grudge and if I want to stay hurt my whole life, fine, but God will not forgive me. So if I want His forgiveness, I have no choice but to forgive from the heart. I don't know what anybody could do to me. I was thinking about this. I don't know what anybody could do to me that would be worth forfeiting God's forgiveness of me. I don't know what it could be. What is it that's worth holding a grudge that you forfeit God forgiving you? What's worth that? I can't think of anything. Whatever they do, I can't think of it. Let me share with you something that revolutionized my prayer life about 2 years ago. About 2 years ago, I started praying every morning. Now, I pray different ways throughout the course of the day, but when I start my day, I always start it the same way. I pray the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer of the Lord's Prayer. But I don't just say it and go on, I expand on it. So it's 30 minutes or more, sometimes more, but I will just expand on it. So I'll say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then I just kind of expand on that phrase. I thank you that you're our Father. It's great to call you Father. Your name is hallowed. Your name is set apart. Your name is more majestic. You're the only true and living God. So I kind of go through, but I use that as my guide. About halfway through the Lord's Prayer is a phrase that says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Notice that order. Forgive me my trespasses. It literally means as I have already forgiven. As I have already forgiven those who trespass against me. So I have to forgive first, then I ask him to forgive me. So here's what I started doing. I would stop, and I still do this, I stop in my prayers and I think of anybody that I might have something against. Sometimes it's nobody, sometimes it's one, sometimes it's two, sometimes it's four or five. And I'll call their name. I'll call their name to the Lord. And I'll say, God, I forgive them from my heart. Would you bless them? Do good to them today, Lord. And then I say, God, as best I know, I don't have anything against anybody. So now, would you forgive me? And here's what I say. Would you forgive me in the same measure, in scope, that I've forgiven them? No more and no less. When I first prayed that, I thought, I don't know if I want to ask God to forgive me no more or no less than I've forgiven others. But it's kind of revolutionized the way I think. Because now, every single day, if there's somebody that has done something, I settle it that day. And then ask God to forgive me. So, who is it in your life you need to forgive? A few years ago, it was early October morning in Georgia. A lady by the name of June Fitzgerald went and got her in her car. She's 30 years old. She's 7 months pregnant. She had a 19-month-old. She strapped her 19-month-old Faith, her daughter, in the car seat. She got in the car. It was early morning. She drove away from her house, and she wasn't very far. It was a two-lane road, small Georgia town. She turned a corner, and Matt Swazell was driving in his pickup truck, and he was turning the corner too. And for 3 seconds, Matt's attention was diverted. 3 seconds across the center line. He hit June Fitzgerald head on. Killed her unborn child. Her 19-month-old daughter was badly injured. They called Eric, her husband, Eric Fitzgerald, and he was at work. They called him, and he got to the hospital, and they greeted him with the news that your wife was killed. Your unborn child was killed. And your daughter is in the hospital room. He went down there, saw his daughter, and just started grieving. A few months later, prosecutors came to Eric, and they said, do you want us to seek the maximum sentence for Matt Swazell? For killing your family. Eric, the grieving husband, is also a strong believer in Jesus. He said, I had just heard my pastor preach a sermon on forgiveness. And I remember him saying in the sermon that sometimes there are circumstances that come up in your life where you can either exact vengeance or you can offer grace. When they come up, offer grace. Eric thought of that sermon. He told the prosecutors, you know, there have been enough lives already destroyed. I'm going to offer grace. I want you to be lenient on Matt. He didn't know Matt. So the prosecutors did. The judge sentenced Matt to community service, no jail time, and a fine. And that was all. A few months went by, and Eric went to the grocery store. He didn't know Matt was already there. They had never talked since this. Matt went in the grocery store to pick out a sympathy card to send to Eric and apologize. He bought the card. He's walking out the door as Eric is walking in the door. Eric turns around, and Matt walks out to his truck. Matt gets there. Eric follows him out there. As soon as he walked up, Matt just started bawling uncontrollably. Eric said, I didn't know what to say, so I just hugged him. Finally, after a few moments, I said, Matt, I forgive you. I don't want you to let this define you. Matt said later, whenever he heard the words from Eric, I forgive you, he said, you cannot imagine the impact that made upon me. It changed my life. The two men talked for about 2 hours out by the truck, and Eric finally said, Matt, I just feel in my spirit that God wants us to stay friends. So they developed a friendship that lasts to this day. In fact, Matt and Eric get together regularly. In fact, they get together and they visit June's grave together. Here's a picture of them. It's Matt on the left, that's Eric on the right, and that's June's grave. Their families started getting together over holiday. The two men grew as close as brothers. Eric and his daughter, Faith, spend time with Matt and his family on a regular basis on holidays. They go to ball games together, Matt and Eric. They say it's good for us both. Two lives changed by forgiveness. So here's my question. What are you going to do about the sermon you heard on forgiveness? Exact vengeance or offer grace? God, I thank you for this passage, as hard as it is. Lord, I'm sure there are a lot of people in this room that have people in their lives that they have just moved on and called it good. But there's never really been any forgiveness from the heart. So Lord, help us to get a picture of you and your forgiving us. And the many, many, many times you've forgiven us. God, I just pray for any decisions today that need to be made. Maybe it's a decision to call somebody this week or go visit somebody this week. It's going to be a hard visit. Give them courage. Give them a release and give them peace through the process. Father, I pray for those people today that don't know you. This is probably a especially hard sermon for them because they don't know you as Savior. May today be the day that they turn their lives over to you, repenting of sins and trusting what Jesus has done for them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.